A lot of us wish that love didn't mean so much to us, but it actually really does. And for some reason, when things are going right, the whole world feels like, you know, and then when it's going wrong, everything feels dark. Now, we all know as great Muslims, we shouldn't allow emotions and feelings to get the best of us. We're supposed to be just good believers and depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Well, that's true. But we can't deny that some of us need a bit of advice related to love, and you're going to get the 5 top tips for women who want to have a successful marriage today. Now, there's nothing that I love more than a Good Friday. Good Friday where we kind of like take it slow and we get to the things that really matter. And today's kind of like that day in my house. It is the day where I kind of connect with my kids. We call it Fun Friday, where we do something a little different and that way we can spend time together. But also I make sure on this day I kind of reconnect with myself and what I'm thinking. And I usually during the week have already reconnected with many of you. And many sisters right now are saying, gosh, when it comes to love, I need just a bit of advice. So today's podcast, we're going to be covering the 5 top marriage tips for women. And, you know, whether you are already married or not married yet, these are ones you're not going to want to miss because they are what's going to help you have a healthy, happy marriage. These are some foundational things that every good marriage needs to have. And if you have lost any of these and you start to notice that as I go through the list, you might understand that that's why there's a breakdown in your marriage. And if you're not married yet, like I told you, then inshallah ta'ala, you're going to want to take note of these so you can make sure that these are something that you keep sacred. And for those of you who don't already know me, my name is Mindful Muslima. I am a mom of 5, big sister to the community, doing this about 25 years with women, and about 6 million on the podcast. So grateful for all of you. And that 95% of what I talk about is literally what you all have asked me about. So I get access a lot. I get questions about kind of like, if I want to have a great marriage, what is it about? Now, a lot of you have met with me maybe on the phone, and that's really great. I love to connect, and some of you guys have gone to our website, www.mindful-muslimah.com. We have a lot of free PDFs and guides and things for marriage, for love, how to find spouse, how to find to stop being a people pleaser, like all those things. So if you haven't already gone past the podcast to there, that's great. And as some of you were thumbing through them, you had more questions and more, and that kind of developed this podcast. So that's what we're going to be covering today. And like I said, whether you're newly married or you've been with your spouse for years, these tips are designed to resonate with you and bring you to a level of understanding that you can elevate your relationship. All right, we're going to dive right in. But right before I do, I want to tell you, don't forget, we're in book club week 5. Yeah, we have made it. And we have only one more week and sneaky surprise. So we have been doing The Power of Dua, the book from Ali Amrian. And, you know, this weekend, we're going to be covering another amazing part of the book. But what I want to say is the following week, which is the last week, she's going to come on to meet you. Yeah. So if you have missed the book club because you've been busy, don't be busy anymore. Come on and catch up with us this weekend on Sunday. It's totally free. 11 a.m. EST, 4 p.m. GMT. It's usually in the link in my bio is to sign up. I let people just come in until the end at this point because sisters just need it. They just need a place to vent, a place to connect, a place to just feel like, and I think I told you I had one sister say like, oh my gosh, I missed one week and I felt the difference because we are all just connecting. So see you there. I have some exciting news too. A lot of you really loved our compatibility workshop that we did a couple months ago, and you keep asking me for the replay. And I was like, replay? I was like, we need to get this out to you all again. So we are going to be opening it up again, I think the first week of June, so maybe in 2.5 weeks. So if you missed it, compatibility's like best tips and questions, and we actually go over some of the questions that you ask. You want to go in there, you want to get those. And yeah, there's a lot to talk about that, but that's coming up. Just giving you a little heads up to mark your calendar. And yeah, definitely can't wait to see y'all on Sunday. It's kind of like my downtime to connect with you. So today we're talking about these kind of like 5 core things that are really important. Let's just dive into the first one. The first one is cultivating trust. I say trust because if you can't trust the one you're with, it's going to make it a really rough road. I'm going to add to trust and mutual respect. trust and respect are really important. And I want to say, it sounds obvious, but a lot of us lose it. We end up losing it for our spouse. Things happen. I had a call just yesterday where a sister said to me, I'm trying to decide whether or not to stay married. I'm suffering from betrayal, right? And so the thing is, betrayal can breed to a lack of trust because, you know, will you do that to me again? And the thing in marriage is once you've gone through something with a spouse, that kind of lurks in the back of your head. Like, are they going to lie again? Are they going to do that again? Are they going to hurt me again? And it's different than like a friendship because you could always just walk away. And a marriage is something you're pretty invested. It's not easy to do. And, you know, fostering respect and a sense of respect beyond the daily routine, it's really important, especially trust. So let me just cover something on that for a second and a couple tips and advice. Number one, be really careful of the words you choose to say. In a fit of rage or anger, we might say things that we really, they might not just strike a chord with that person, they might stay with them for years. I want you to think about yourself, right? If your husband says something that's pretty jarring, you might not forget that for a very long time. Men are no different, right? They're hearing things, they're sensitive. They get offended, they get hurt the way we do, even though I know they express it differently or may seem like they're not, but they do. And they hold it inside, but they just don't talk about it. So be really, really careful, because if you lose respect for your husband, it's a really big thing for us as women, right? And it's hard because some of the men, they don't do their part. And I know that. I get a lot of calls from sisters. I had a sister the other week who says, you know, my husband, he's just not paying for things. He's not taking care of me. I'm pretty much taking care of myself. Now, that's different. We're talking about a line of something to do with fiqh, and that's un-Islamic. If you do have that, you definitely need to talk to an imam or sheikh, because that is not the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be cared for. That's actually Islam. I know we have this like new Western 50-50 thing. That is not Islam. In Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask your husband. He's completely responsible for you. And so you can check this out for yourself with a sheikh or an imam, but he has qawam. And so, alhamdulillah, you should be cared for. That's just not even like something we even discuss here, right? But let's pretend he doesn't. It can make you lose respect for him. Sometimes we marry husbands who have maybe lesser in education and you have a higher education. It can make you lose respect for him. That's why when we choose spouses, it's really important that we choose people that we vetted them first, right? And don't worry, ladies who are unmarried, I'm going to help you with that, especially in June a lot. So you can get some better ways to meet men that are in a way that is obviously halal, but is also a way that you can tell really clearly if they're compatible in these types of ways, because you want to have respect. You don't want to lose it. But if you lost it, I want to say is it can be gained back. So don't worry. Trust also can be gained back. So in the last part of this point, what I want to say is if these things have been broken, they just take time to rebuild. And if you feel like it's taking too long, it's because it does take long. I'm just going to be honest. If it really, really gets battered, trust and respect, it can be fixed. It just might take longer than you want, but you're on the road to recovery, so to speak. So that is the good news, right? So anything worth fighting for, usually you have to fight for it. So alhamdulillah, it's marriage, it's life. True effective communication. This one is huge, right? And we've talked in the podcast before about the need for this and the way to do this. And I've talked to you before about the fact that men are highly sensitive to being accused. And so when you're going to talk to them about anything, they always feel like, oh, she's judging me. She's complaining. They don't like anything that sounds like complaints or criticism. So one piece of advice I've given you in the past is don't use you statements, use I statements. Another one is to come to them in the right time of the day. We love to come to them when it's like they just walked in the door, they just woke up. Timing is everything. I give a ton more tips. We actually have an entire marriage course on this called the Marriage Boost course. But just wanted to throw this in there at like, this is important because sometimes, actually I'll throw in one more, love language. Sometimes we're using the wrong love language. We actually have an entirely free PDF on this. We actually have an entirely free quiz. It's a digital quiz. It's really cool where you can plug in. If you just go to my page, the www.mindful-muslimah, M-U-S-L-A-M-A-H. And you go on that first page right at the top, you should see a love languages quiz that will populate and you could take it and find yours and his. Life-changing, especially for me, knowing my husband's love language. I used to try to talk and talk and talk to him, and I realized that talking is not his love language. Like, it's not that it's a love language to begin with, but there's acts of service, acts of whatever. There's different, like, types, and there's just so many, and about five of them. And so as soon as I knew the right one, ooh, made conversations that much easier in communication. So these are just some tips, but yeah, communication is another core one. So we have trust and respect, communication, balancing roles. That's my third one. So it's not about the male-female thing here so much. It's not about like the 50-50 thing, another Western thing. All right. And I know this is a hard concept for women, and I might get some hate on it, but I'm just going to tell you the way Islam said. So you're not mad at me. Okay. This is the deen. This is not me. This is the deen. Let's just be really clear. And I'm not telling you to be mad at Islam, because Islam is perfect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has thought of everything. So for example, I had someone who came over to my house and they were saying, you're doing laundry. How often does your husband do laundry? And I'm like, my husband doesn't do laundry. And they're like, doesn't that bother you? He's not pulling his weight. He's not this. And I'm like, okay, first of all, that's a very Western mentality. And the reason you want your husband to fold half the clothes or do half the dishes with the Western model is because you as a woman are paying for half the bills. I am not. My husband goes out, takes care of everything from every single bill, every single rent, every single piece of food in the house. If what I do is fold some clothes, I'm good. That pressure is off of me. So when we move to this model of, this way, it sounds like, oh, that just sounds so domesticated. Like, instead of asking, why are you asking me about that? Asking like, why are you asking why? Why did society make you think there's something right or wrong with this? This is really, really key. We are often having ourselves in the wrong headspace about this because we're using the Western model. So when I say balancing roles, what I mean is it's more like a thing between you and your husband. So beyond that, you and your husband can have your own arrangements. For example, for me at the end of the night, I don't put the kids to bed. I know a lot of moms put their kids to bed. I don't. I haven't put my kids to bed for years, but my kids are older now. Like when they were smaller, okay, maybe that made sense. But right now, my husband and I agreed at the end of every night, we want to sit together. And because he knows I'm going to have to be washing dishes at the end of the night and then going to put kids to bed. And then he's like, this doesn't make sense. I want to spend time with you. How about if I put the kids to bed while you're doing the dishes? So effectively, we eat, we sit down with the kids a little bit, then I go wash the dishes, he puts them to bed, then we join each other on the couch. Does that make sense? So when I say balancing roles, I mean do what works for you in your house so that you can have healthy time with your kids, with your husband, and you can relax. And it's really, really important that you create an atmosphere that works for you. Don't compare yourself to other people on Pinterest, YouTube, anything. You do what works for you. No guilt, no shame, unapologetically. That's just really how it needs to be. So balancing roles here is my suggestion of finding what works for you and your family. Like my husband and I, we take turns on dropping the kids to sports because he says it's hard for me after I drove really far and commuting all day to then drive them to sports too. And I also could relate. But then I also was doing stuff in the house that just makes me so tired that I need to do one more thing to go outside now. It's difficult. So what we decided to do is do like a 50-50 on that one. Half the time he drives, half the time I don't. That way we also get to see the kids in their practice. And sometimes we'll even go together. We'll just drop everything and go together. So we sit together for 45 minutes and watch the kids. So, alhamdulillah, you do what works for you. Number four, a spiritual connection. It's really great that, you deal with money and groceries and kids and, nappies and all that stuff, but there's got to be a point where you guys connect. Now, connecting in loving ways could come in that balancing role thing that I just said. Day-to-day love and consideration and care for each other is better than like a once a month dinner out. Although those are suggested, I will say having at least once a month, at least for you and your husband, just to get completely be alone. For me, it's always been hard because of the proximity of where I live and people helping me, but we've worked it out where we like tag team with other people who need the same thing, whether it's like our in-laws or my daughter. So we just kind of like pass off, that way we can all have a chance to get a break. And so I do encourage you, if you don't have like sitters and things like that, to do some type of an arrangement. It's really, really good. The other one is with the spiritual connection. You want to grow together spiritually. So for example, my husband and I, when we sit on the couch and we watch TV, at the end of that, we're usually, it's the Isha prayer will come in. So we do Isha prayer. And because after Ramadan, we reminded each other and committed to doing at least 4 rak'ah after, we do those also together. So there's this things that we do together spiritually to grow. We also remind ourselves or each other to wake up for Fajr and things like that. I never just take care of myself. He never just takes care of himself. We've agreed that we are taking care of each other's iman. Oh, I'm not responsible for them. I can't babysit and baby everyone. That's not the attitude. The attitude is I love you and I want you to go to Jannah. So when I'm waking up, I'm waking you up. And the days that I'm tired or my legs hurt or something, he's like, I know it's hard. come on, come pray with me. So we're there as this hand that washes the other, and that's the attitude. Last one is handling conflicts with grace. Listen to me, every marriage is going to have problems. But you know what big psychologists say? It's not just the fighting, it's how you fight. Are you fighting dirty? See, so when we're handling conflicts, and there's a ton of ways that I teach how to handle conflicts inside of the Marriage Boost course, but it's not something, it's a skill that you learn over time. But one important thing is that you don't fight dirty. That's why I said, don't say the words that you know you're going to regret later, right? Don't go in on people. Don't like really choosing our words carefully. And by the way, the prophet, peace be upon him, he said that our tongue and our heart are directly connected. So the state of our heart is reflected in our words. We want to make sure that we're using kind words. We're using words of Islamic value. I can express my anger. I can express my displeasure, but I don't have to like cuss or swear or point fingers and dig in. It's very different. Do you get me? I'm sure you know exactly what I mean. And lastly, I just want to say, when it comes to marriage, you know, just doing what works for you both. It isn't just another piece of general advice that I'm giving you with these five things. These are things that will have marriage stand the test of time. Trust and respect, true communication, finding balance that works just for you and your marriage, spiritual connections, and handling conflicts with grace without getting dirty or super mean. I'm telling you, if you could do these things, the other stuff that comes your way, it'll roll off your back and it won't last for long. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you. Have an amazing Friday. And if you want to reach out to me or do a consultation call with me, you could do those too. They have them over there on the website, www.mindful-muslimah.com. You just go to the consultation section in the menu and you can get me. The other one is, don't forget, if you want to take the love languages quiz, just go to the website, go to the top, and you can click it. Either way, cannot wait to talk to you this weekend in the book club. Have a great weekend. Assalamu alaikum.